It's good to be back here with you at Church of the Advents to celebrate the Divine Liturgy of the Mass and to just continue to encourage you on your journey towards Holy Orthodoxy and the establishment of a Western Rite parish here in Atlanta. I don't know if any of you, well, there are a few of you who have. How many of you have children? There's a couple. When they get a little bit older, what you're going to notice at Christmas time, and you've probably seen this and you probably remember yourself, is when we got gifts. Is the gift will stand in front of us. What does a child naturally do when they get a wrapped gift? They just start tearing into it. And they tear into it, and they fly it over, they look at it, and they slide it aside and go, what's next? And so they do that. They just, until they tear everything, until there's no more gifts, they're like, and then they'll go back possibly and look at the gift that they got. But they're just so excited when they get a gift that they just want to tear it open, see what it is, and if there's any more, they want that too. It's human nature. The interesting thing about that is that we as Christians are not as enthusiastic about discovering what spiritual gifts that God has for us. It's kind of like Christians are walking around with this wrapped box throughout their life, and they're just toting around, I've got a gift, it's beautiful, not sure what's in it, but I got it. And they walk around for years with this gift, unwrapped, unopened, which really kind of seems like a silly thing, doesn't it? Because it is silly. Because if you think back to when we were children, we just tore into that gift. We want to see what that gift was. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, as baptized people in the kingdom of God, have at least one spiritual gift for the building up of God's kingdom. Now, I need to talk about there's a difference between natural talents and abilities and spiritual gifts. What are some natural talents and abilities? Some people have giftings in mathematics, mechanical things, music. They may be good organizers, different things, athletics. I mean, genetics. The genetic pool is an interesting thing, and so we have a lot of natural talents and abilities that come to us from our parents. When we build a physical house, we need tools, and we have a toolbox. We have hammers, we have nails, we have saws. We have all of the tools necessary to build a house. Well, if we're going to build a spiritual kingdom, we need to build it with spiritual tools. And God has provided the spiritual tools. They are the spiritual gifts that God gives. If you remember in Acts and everything else, there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and people began to speak in tongues and have prophecies and miraculous powers and healings and all kinds of different things. Those were not for the individual. Those were for building up of the kingdom of God, for building God's church here on earth. Now, part of the problem of Christianity throughout the centuries, and every generation needs to recapture a appreciation and a rediscovery of the need for the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. The question is, well, Lord Father Ken, where do we find these gifts outlined? There are three primary places in the Scriptures, and if you happen to have your Bibles with you, they're in Romans chapter 12. They're also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and then Ephesians 4. And I'm going to quickly go through these spiritual gifts. Now, when you look throughout the whole Scripture, this is somewhere between 21 and 26, depending on how you look at the different spiritual gifts. But I'm going to read these to you. The first one is Paul's letter to the Church of Rome. Now, Paul's talking to basically a people who live amongst a lot of pagans. They're in a polytheistic world where even Caesar is God. And there's a real need to build the church in that society. Well, we're living in a post-Christian America. Where I'm from, some counties are 80% unchurched, which means people may have been baptized, but people effectively are unchurched. We are no longer in a Christian culture here in the United States. Even though the world tends to think, oh, America is a Christian place, and really, we've slid a long way from where we were. So here's Paul, and in chapter 12 he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Interestingly, he says that, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then he moves into life in the unity of the church. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to. But soberly, as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, Let us use them. Let us use them. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I'm jumping to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul again to the church at Corinth. Again, teaching a different church about the spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, brethren means brothers and sisters, he's talking to men and women in the church. I do not want you to be ignorant. Interesting thing, he didn't want them to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts, but we have an entire culture in the Christian church today that is ignorant of the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know that we were Gentiles carried away by those dumb idols, where however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The gifts. So many people very often, and in my counseling as a pastor, I've had people come to me and say, Father Ken, I've been praying for to a discernment and discovering what my spiritual gift is. And my question for the individuals generally is, if you discover what your spiritual gift is, are you willing to use it to build up the church? It's not for you. It's for others. I said, if God is giving you a gift, it's not so you can walk around and say, hey, I'm Joe or Susie Super Christian. Look at this spiritual gift I have. It's about you actually getting to work in the church, in the body of Christ, for the building up of other people. There's only one spiritual gift in all of Scripture that really is for the edification of the individual, and it's that prayer language. And speaking the prayer language of tongues. That's the only one that's for the individuals. That has to do with individual prayer life. All of the other spiritual gifts are for the building up of other people, for building up the spiritual kingdom of God. So he says, so the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as God wills. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul again teaching the church at Ephesus. Now these giftings are really the equipping ministries, which you tend to see a lot in the ordained ministry, but not necessarily solely in the ordained ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. There's five there. What we would very often call it fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice, all of the gifts are for the building up of other people in the body of Christ for the service of everybody else. It's not for ourselves. So I want to ask you today, do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Gift or gifts are? If you don't, you're like all those other Christians walking around and saying, I got this great, tremendous gift, not quite sure what it is, but I think I may walk around and just keep walking around. It would be a silly thing to see somebody walking around on the street with an unwrapped, open gift for years. God has so much he wants to do in this world. But in order to do it, he needs his people. We are the covenant people of God. He needs his people to be moving in their spiritual giftings for the building up of his church, for building up and edifying of other people. Now, the job of the clergy is not to have all of the spiritual gifts. Very often, people look at the ministries in the church and say, well, we have hired guns for that. That's why we have clergy. They'll do the evangelism. They'll do the teaching. They'll do all these other things. They got all the spiritual gifts. And so we've become a spectator sport. Christianity in America is a spectator sport. It's actually a multi-billion dollar a year industry as well. We've got sermons. We've got music. We've got everything on tape and video. We've got all the multimedia and everything else. With all that multi-billion dollar a year industry going on, has our culture been transformed? No, it's not, because we have turned Christianity into being an entertainment spectator sport. Very often the church is likened to a football game where there are 22 guys on the field in desperate need of rest and 80,000 people in the stands in desperate need of exercise. And the church, generally, when you look at the church, you'll have about 4 to 8% of the core people doing 96% of the work. If you've been in any other church, you'll see those same people doing all the work. And in time, they burn out, they get tired, and they get frustrated. And there's all these other people who are sitting there in desperate need of spiritual exercise to begin using the spiritual gifts. Now, we're supposed to use our natural talents and abilities for the glory of God as well. But our spiritual gifts, we need as Christians, I need to, we all need to discover what our giftings are and begin to move in them for the equipping and the building up of other people. So the spiritual kingdom of God here on earth can make an impact. We tend to focus on, very often the discussion gets into, you know, spiritual gifts. Well, that's talking in tongues and all that stuff, and there's too much emphasis put on that. As a matter of fact, whenever that kind of stuff is listed, it's usually at the very bottom and least important. But if you look, and I want to maybe challenge you as a newly forming Western Rite parish, is to begin in time after your catechism and everything else, to begin to study the spiritual gifts of God, to begin praying for a discernment of what our spiritual gifts are. And then look for opportunities and pray to God for opportunities to use those spiritual gifts. That is how the people's hearts are transformed. That's how the world is transformed. That is how the Christian church has always advanced throughout history. Because Jesus didn't send his people into the world without power from the Holy Spirit and giftings of the Holy Spirit. Because then they would have been operating on their own. And when we're operating on our own, we're spinning our wheels and we're building a worldly, a human institution. And the church, yes, it is full of human beings, but it is also what Jesus has left into the world to continue to do all the work that he did while he was here. We need to look. Now, question comes up. Well, will all the spiritual gifts be operating in each and every parish? No. The entire church is not comprised of one parish. But we look at the Orthodox Church throughout the world, the hundreds of millions of people throughout the world, the spiritual gifts reside in the church. So in some churches are known as having a healing ministry. Some churches have different things going on. But the spiritual gifts are still alive and well in the church that we belong to. The question is, what spiritual giftings is God pouring out here in the Church of the Advent to be used to contribute to the large body of Christ and the building up of God's kingdom here on earth? It's a good question, isn't it? So maybe that's the direction that we need to go. But the three primary areas you definitely want to look at for a further reading scripturally is Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. You can go from 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. We know the great wedding spiritual gifts. It's kind of interesting. We hear that 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. We go through that whole passage. That has absolutely nothing to do with marriage. It has everything to do with the exercising of the spiritual gifts. The principles of love apply, obviously, to marriage, but he's making an emphasis of these are how the spiritual gifts are supposed to be used in the context of love. And we don't look at one another as Christians and say, oh, I wish I had their gift, or I wish I had their gift, because now you're looking with human eyes. And so what we do is we should never desire to be somebody else or to have somebody else's gift. It's just you are unique to God, and God has poured his grace out on you, and God has a specific gift for you, as he does for me. And God has specifically limited the clergy and their giftings so that the entire body of Christ, the entire congregation, can be doing the work of the kingdom. Can I say amen down here now, something? Do I hear an amen out there, something?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's a good thing. And it's a wonderful thing to know God has not left us alone, that God has given us gifts. He's empowered us from on high. And I just want to encourage you to begin to pursue those spiritual gifts. It is then that your families, your workplaces, their communities will begin to transform. Imagine if every Christian tomorrow morning went out and did everything that they were encouraged to do in the sermons they heard on Sunday. It would make the news. It would make the news. But so let's not be entertained. Let's not just be hearers of the word, as James says, and not doers of the word. He said, remember what James said? He said, the hearers of the words and not doers of the words are people who look at their image in a mirror and then walk away and forget what they look like. It's foolishness. So let us not be mere hearers of the words, but doers of the word. Amen. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.